there are only 10 days left of Christmas. You realize that? My time has flown. And I am of the belief that many people, probably most people, actually goes through the entire month of December at full speed, not having a moment to unwind, to relax, to actually enjoy what the season is about. So if you're here today, and we'll be brief this morning, but if you're rushed, if you're broke, if you're out of time, if you're stressed, if you're hurried, if you're tired of turkey sandwiches yet, if you're tired of leftovers, if it's tired of being crowded all the time in Walmart, if you're overextended, Christmas is about making room for Jesus in our busy and hectic lives. There's got to be that moment or moments that we reflect upon what really is what Christmas is all about. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem after a lengthy trip, they were no doubt tired. They were exhausted, and after all, Mary was pregnant. She was in full term and had ridden a donkey for 70 or 80 long, dusty miles. That's like a four-day journey because everyone had to come to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. They had no choice but to go. And Mary couldn't call in sick. No way to postpone any of this. No medical leave. So they had no choice but to get on these donkeys and ride Bethlehem. The angels had spoken to her. She was fully convinced that this, and very much aware about that, she was about to give birth to the Son of God. Joseph was also aware. He trusted Mary, and he trusted the Lord that Mary was a virgin. That's a big one. And trusted the Lord that this was all part of God's big plan for their lives. Boy, was he ever right. So they arrived in Bethlehem, very much in need of rest, and wanted to take care of their taxes, return to their home. And the last thing that they wanted to hear when they arrived was that there is no room at the inn. There is nothing worse than planning a trip and finding out that there's no place to stay. Now, maybe we should not be surprised that this was the response of the innkeeper. I mean, after all, thousands of people were making the journey there. There was no way of going onto Google and making reservations ahead of time. So it still surprises us, though, in a way, when we hear, sorry, we have no room for you. I mean, she's obviously humongously pregnant. And doesn't seem to be much sympathy there. And she just says, no, there's no room. We have no room. Virgin Mary, husband Joseph, and the King of Kings, they had no room for them. And we would think that if anyone had any clout, and if anybody had any pull at all, it would be God, and they would not be forced to stay in a stable. You would think that God would have taken care of that necessity, already had arranged that, but here they were, forced into a stable, because there was simply no room. And I guess that we can identify with this statement because sometimes we feel this way this time of year. We have no room. There are several things that begin to happen when we get to this point, and none of them are good. And when our lives become too full, we can't. Let's look at the passage this morning, and we'll get our points from it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. After this, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Wow. Think about the reality of that situation. Think about that innkeeper who was there and refused the Son of God. I wonder if Mary had said, "But sir, you don't understand. This is God's son. This is the Messiah that's going to be born," he probably looked at her and said, "Yeah, right. Anything to be able to get a place to stay." Do we not have room for him? Is this not what we tell him too often? None of these things are good, but when our lives become too full, when we don't have time for Christ, here are some things that we find that will happen in our lives. The first thing is we lose our time alone with God. When our lives get too full, where we say we haven't got room for you in our hearts, making time for him is the last thing that we have on our mind in a season that's set aside to honor Jesus. It is a shame that he's often the last thing on our minds. And there's a reason for that. When our lives become too full, if Christ is not the first thing in our lives, he usually becomes the last. That's a sad thing to say, but it's true. If he's not first, he is usually last. We put him on the last of everything. Because of our schedules, our endless activities, he ends up in last place. Let me tell you something, that includes church activities also. We need to put him first, and then the rest follow. And then when our lives become too full, and we lose our time with God, we can also lose our relationship with God. In fact, we can make time for the things that matter. We make time for the people that matter. We make time for the things and the people we love. But somehow we get the mistaken idea that God understands when we don't make time for him. I can't even imagine what it'd be like if I forgot to go to my mom and daddy's for Christmas. Or what if my kids forgot to come over and visit to see us on Christmas Day? We make time for those things, don't we? But do we make time for Jesus in our hearts and our lives? Do we make time and put him first? We better not criticize the innkeeper too much, because I think sometimes we're just as guilty. You know, we think God understands, but trust me, he doesn't. From the beginning of his life, Jesus has been told by too many of us that there's no room for him right now. I want you to think about it. The innkeeper told Mary and Joseph flat out, "There's no room for you in the inn." When Jesus told that rich young ruler he needed to sell all that he had and give it to the poor, the young man walked away very sad and gave nothing. He basically said, "Jesus, I don't have time for this kind of thing." And when Peter said to Jesus, "I don't even know you," he was saying, "I don't have time for this right now." And when Judas sold Jesus to the highest bidder for 30 pieces of silver, he was saying, "Jesus, you do not matter to me." And when they nailed him to the cross, the soldiers were saying, "We don't have time for you. We don't need you here." And the truth is that we do the same. Now, I know what you're thinking here. I never denied Jesus or sold him to the highest bidder. I never crucified him. That was the Jews or the soldiers or Herod. Whomever we choose to blame it on. But yet we choose to put other things before Jesus, especially in this time of year. Let me give you some truths. Some truths that we all need to understand. First of all of us have sinned. And all of us have fallen short of God's standard for our lives. God does not put categories into our sin. The big ones, the little ones, the venial, the vestal, and all those other type of things. They're just sin. There's only two categories of sinners. And that's those who are lost and those who are saved. And that's all. The second thing we find note here is that all of us have inherited a sinful nature. From generation to generation, sin is passed down to all of us. Romans 5:12 says sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. He also further reminds us that God, the wages or the price of that sin is death. Because of our sin, that we must die. There's There's only one person in the history of the world who did not have a sin nature, and that is Jesus Christ. And his virgin birth allowed him to miss this human nature of sin from Adam. The third thing I want to note to this is this. There is no way out except through Jesus. Our sinful nature put us in this predicament, and it is our sinless Savior who will get us out. It is though we've fallen in a pit, we try and dig ourselves out, but we understand that we can't. All we do is make it deeper. We try every possible way except for the one Christ who's offered to get us there through His Son. You know, you think that if we knew how to get ourselves out of this rut of sin, we'd already done it. But no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we work at it, there's only one way out, and that's Jesus. And it's only through Christ that we can be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's John 3:6. And when we were born of Adam, we inherit his sin nature. But when we are born again in Christ, we inherit a new nature. And that's the good news. Now here is not so good news. When we receive Christ, we inherit a new nature, but we also keep the old nature. The Bible says that sin remains in us, and our struggle with that old nature will continue as long as we're in this world. It's the very thing that caused Paul to say, why do I do things that I don't want to do, and things that I want to do, I don't? That sounds familiar to me, and I'm sure it does to you. So we have two natures living within us, and we must decide daily which one we're going to allow to control our lives. And then we need to allow to get control of Jesus. Say, what does this have to do with Christmas? Everything. We don't celebrate a little baby, an ordinary little baby who may or may not have had an immaculate conception, grew up and went to a cross and died. We celebrate a Savior, one who came with you and me in mind, so that we could be saved. Without Him coming, it could not have happened. And we must understand these things in order to appreciate just how special Christmas truly is and how we need to make room for Him. We must allow Him to gain more control of our lives every single day. And you see, when I receive Christ, I don't get more of Jesus than you do. I don't have more of Jesus than you do. And when you receive, it's not how much you get, it's how much you give of yourself to Him. So what we need is a brand new start. The ability to simply erase the past and begin all over again. A do-over. And we can, but it's not that simple. You see, when there was no room in the inn, when the Lord Jesus came to this world, the Bible tells us that there was no place for Him. 2,000 years, not much more has changed. There's a no vacancy sign in many hearts of people today. There's no room for Jesus. Sadly, that sign is being put up on Christians' heart, those who know Him already and don't want to make room for Him in their lives. According to historical records, there were possibly as many as 500,000 people gathered for this census. Micah prophesied that the birth of Jesus would take place in Bethlehem. And census is what God used to get them to the right place. None of this happened by accident. I want you to notice something. Even though the innkeeper wasn't ready, there were some who were actually ready. The angels were ready. The shepherds were ready. Mary and Joseph were ready, but not the innkeeper. But you know what? I can't change that. That innkeeper's destiny has already been sealed. It's already been done. He made the choice of saying no to Jesus. But there are decisions that can be made today by people who are living today, while there's still time, to make room for Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. The question is now, do you have room? Let me tell you something. If you don't have room, you probably need to kick somebody or something out of your heart and your life to make room for it. Because you are missing the most important thing. You're missing the only thing that matters, and the only thing that ever will matter in your heart and your life is Jesus. Make room for Him. Make time for Him. If today you have no room for the one who was born in a manger, the one who the Bible tells us never had a place to lay His head, the one who is despised and rejected, then you have no room for the Savior of this world. I want to ask you today to make room. Right now. That's your invitation. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you definitely have to make room for Him in your heart. I believe that He came for you and for me. Not just as a cute little baby so we'll have the time to exchange gifts and all that. He came to save me. He came to save you. And right now He may be knocking on your heart's door and He's saying, let me in. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. There are too many people that are saying, sorry, I have no room for you. If you're one of those people today who never come to the belief, the saving faith of asking Jesus into your heart and your life, and you keep telling Him, no, I don't have a place for you right now, would you pause and consider and listen to Him again? Listen to the knocking on your heart's door. Let Him hear you. You hear Him. Answer it. Come to believe. Save children of God, if you're here today, find it hard and harder to find time for Jesus. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you don't want to anywhere near your life because of the way you're living your life. Whatever it may be, let me share with you something. You need to listen to Him. You need to follow Him. You need to make sure He's got the proper place in your life, in your heart today. So as we sing today, this invitation, I want to give you the opportunity to make room for Jesus in your heart and in your life. Brother Andy, if you'll come, we all stand and we sing together. What is it that Christ wants from you today?